Chapter 1. The Missing Hat. It was Christmas time, but Sherlock never stopped investigating or looking for an exciting case. Early in the morning, I found him observing a hat hanging on a hook, which was not unusual conduct for Sherlock. He was staring at it intently through a magnifying glass, and I watched his scientific examination for a moment. "Is that hat involved in a crime?" I asked him. Sherlock turned to me and responded, "It is a clue in an unusual incident. There may be a connection with a crime, but I don't know. It may be significant, or it could be an irrelevant detail. It is part of an unusual incident, so naturally, it interests me." Now I was curious and asked him to explain. He told me he was visited earlier by a man we both knew, Peterson, who worked as a doorman at a nearby hotel and had an interesting tale. Very early on Christmas morning, he was returning home from visiting friends when he saw a tall man staggering in front of him along the road. He was staggering because he was carrying an enormous goose over his shoulder. Suddenly, Peterson saw some rough fellows who were threatening and pushing him. One man knocked off his hat, and this man lifted his stick to attack them but hit a window instead. Peterson told Sherlock that he had been going to help the man, but now he heard a policeman shout. All the men were frightened, so they ran away, and the tall man dropped his goose as he ran. The policeman pursued the men, and Peterson now had the hat and the goose. Sherlock showed me, there are some initials inside the hat, HB, and a name on a card tied to the goose's leg, Henry Baker. So, why hasn't Peterson found the man and returned his belongings? It is astonishing how many Henry Bakers live in London, my dear Watson. It seemed unlikely that he could find out who the owner was or where to find him, so Peterson brought both items to me. As you can smell, the goose is actually cooking right now, otherwise, it would have been unfit to eat if we had left it any longer. So, we know nothing about the owner of the hat and goose then? I suggested. Absolutely not, Watson. We know a great deal. The owner was once wealthy but is experiencing difficult times. He is intelligent, middle-aged, has recently had a haircut, and his wife no longer loves him, Sherlock said. How can you possibly get all these impressions from just a hat? I asked in astonishment. All the clues are right in front of you, Watson. Observe the hat closely. It is large, suggesting his intelligence. It is of excellent quality, which suggests his wealth, but it is in poor condition, and someone has used ink to cover faded areas. He cannot afford this kind of hat now. A few short grey hairs here reveal his age and the fact that he has had a haircut recently. Finally, the hat is extremely dusty. This proves that his wife no longer cares for him. Sherlock put the hat back on the hook. It was impossible to see how he reached his conclusions when he outlined theories, but he then made it look so simple. I had to acknowledge that this theory was the truth. Incredible, but why waste your energy if there is no crime? Suddenly, the door opened, and Peterson was breathing heavily. He held out his hand. Look what my wife found in the neck of the goose. It was a brilliant blue stone shining brightly. You know what this is, don't you, Peterson? Yes, it is a precious stone. It's incredible. It is not just a precious stone. It is the precious stone, the blue carbuncle stolen from the Countess of Morcar, a jewel of great value, Sherlock declared. The theft has been in the papers every day, and it is worth so much that there is a reward of £1,000 for its recovery. It was lost at the Hotel Cosmopolitan a few days ago. We all knew about the case. A plumber, John Horner, was accused of taking it and will appear in court. James Ryder, the assistant manager at the hotel, had shown John Horner to the Countess of Morcar's rooms on the day of the robbery so that he could do some repairs. Mr. Ryder had stayed with him for a limited time, but then he left to do some work. Somebody had forced a desk open when he returned, and the jewels case was on the floor. It was empty. Horner was arrested that evening, but nobody could find the jewel. Horner protested innocence and said there was no proof, but he was arrested. Sherlock was excited and pleased at the idea of solving an actual crime. So, we have to work out the sequence of events and how the jewel went from the Countess of Morcar's room to the neck of our goose. What fun! Our main objective had to be finding Henry Baker and confirming his part in this mystery. If he was our criminal or had just lost a goose at Christmas time, he would probably answer a private advertisement. Sherlock prepared a simple notice. A goose and a black hat were found at the corner of Good Street. Mr. Henry Baker should call at 6:30 this evening at 22B, Baker Street to recover these items. I have named him as this improves our chances. Other people will tell him about it, Sherlock explained. We will put the advertisement in every single newspaper. Now, Peterson, go buy another goose, and I will keep the stone for security. Once he had left, I asked Sherlock why the stone was so valuable. It was found in a river in China, and it is blue, while most carbuncles are red. Since it was found, it has inspired several murders and robberies. It is simply unique and believed to be magical. Every criminal would love to possess it. So, who is guilty, Horner or Henry Baker? I wondered. Maybe neither, considered Sherlock. If Mr. Baker knew what was in the goose, he would have held onto it tightly, don't you think? Anyway, I shall use a simple test to solve this when Mr. Baker comes this evening. Meanwhile, we cannot do anything until 6:30, so I will put this stone somewhere safe and go for a walk.